We continue with the story of Samuel. We pick right up where we left off in the third chapter, starting now with verse 11. Listen for God's word to you. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy God, as you are calling to us, may we hear your voice. Through your word, by the power of your spirit, we pray that you would speak to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we took up the beginning of Samuel's story, which is the story of his birth. His mother Hannah was barren, and Eli the priest blessed her so that she might receive whatever it was she was asking of the Lord. She was asking for a son, and she gave birth to a son, named him Samuel, and gave him to the temple, gave him to the Lord's service there in the temple. The text goes on to tell us, and these are the exact words of the text, the sons of Eli were scoundrels. That's the way that the chapter 2 describes the sons of the priests. They treated the offerings of the Lord with contempt, and it says they lay with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. These were not good priests, these two sons of Eli. So Hannah and Elkanah, the parents of Samuel, they come back to the temple every year. Each year, Hannah brings Samuel a new robe to wear because he's surely growing out of the old one. And Eli blesses Hannah again, and she is able to give birth to more children, 3 sons, 2 daughters. And the text tells us the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. And then a prophet comes and visits Eli and foretells the doom of his house. And then, as we saw in this passage, God speaks those same words to Samuel and tells Samuel what will become of this prophet Eli. So that is our passage this morning. Not an easy first prophetic task for this boy. But what I want to focus on this morning is the way that God speaks to Samuel. Because this story is the template for how we want God to speak, right? We want it to be audible. We want to hear when God is trying to tell us something. We wouldn't mind if it was repeated a few times. That would help. If we had someone there with us who could help us interpret and understand a little bit of an instruction guide to know when God is speaking, that would be great too. All of these things are present in this story to make the voice of God unmistakable for Samuel. Eventually, there's no question that it's God who is speaking to him, and this is how we want God to speak to us. For Christmas, Kristen and I wanted to get our 2 older kids a little speaker to put in their room so they could have some music in their room, and we were shopping online on Black Friday, and the cheapest thing, the best deal, was actually a Wi-Fi enabled speaker. And so a few days after Christmas, I've got the app open on my phone, and I'm trying to figure out these different settings on this speaker, and I see this button that says broadcast, and I think, what's this? So I touch it, and it lets me say something into my phone, and then what I say into my phone will get broadcast on the kids' speakers. And so one day, they were in one of their rooms just playing, doing something with music on, and then they hear on this speaker this little do-do-do-do, and then my voice, loud and clear, makes them jump out of their skin. This is how we want to hear God's voice. We want it to come right to us. There's no mistaking that this is the voice of their father and that the music is too loud, or whatever it was that I was trying to tell them through their speaker. This is how we want God to speak to us. When God calls us, we want to hear it. We want to know for sure that God is the one who is speaking. We want to know that it's God's voice and not our own inner voice or our own worries or our desires. We want to know what is being asked of us and not doubt. Because if we're going to take some steps in a particular direction, we want to be sure. We want God's wisdom to be available to us when our own wisdom comes up short, which is an awful lot. So very often we look back at stories like these, where God speaks clearly, and the hero of the story seems to have none of the misgivings that we do. And we look at these stories and we say, well, the world was just different then. God must have been different then. The way that God spoke, the way that people experienced God, it was all just different. It was so long ago. Things were clearer. They were just less complicated then. But today, for us, God's presence is not so easily perceived. There seems to be a lot more guesswork for us, a lot more doubt and uncertainty than there used to be. God has made it harder for us today, for whatever reason, or God is just not as active as God had been in Bible times, when God seemed to be appearing and speaking to people all over the place. But I'd like to draw your attention to how our story began this morning with these words. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. So I wonder, was it really that different back then? For Samuel, was it really such a different world? There he is, serving in the temple day after day. Year after year, he'd been there since he was weaned as a child. Was it really so different for Samuel? Was he any more confident that God would speak to him in a way that he would know and understand? Was he any more certain that he was following the right path? Samuel is ministering to the Lord, is what the text says. He's in the temple where the ark of God is. And the text says the lamp of God had not yet gone out. So there it is. The word of the Lord was rare. Sounds a lot like our experience today. But, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. God is still there. God is still active. God's work is not yet done. So if we are not all that different from Samuel, and if our world is not all that different from his, what do we learn from his story? We learn how to hear God's voice. That's what we learn from Samuel. We learn how to hear God's voice. And the first thing we do is we wait. God is always available to us, always present with us, but God is not Siri or Alexa. We can't just push a button or ask a question in a particular way and get an immediate and prompt answer from God. I have become convinced, the more that I am immersed in the frenetic pace of life today, the more that technology is a part of my life, I have become convinced that waiting is a modern spiritual discipline. We don't have to wait for very much at all anymore, and this, I think, is a relatively new phenomenon for us. This past week, I was buying a book from Amazon, a book that I don't need for a few weeks, and I am an Amazon Prime member, so I can get free 2-day shipping on almost anything, but I also get an option when I check out that for $1 credit towards electronic book or music or something, I can select no rush shipping, which might take a week and a half. Now, mind you, I don't need this book for a few weeks. I'm never going to get to it in the next week. And I choose two-day shipping, right? Of course I do, because I can't wait. Why would I wait if I don't have to wait? Because waiting is a discipline now that needs to be cultivated. Waiting is not something we have to do anymore, at least not very often. We're losing the capacity, the ability to wait, to trust in the fulfillment of our hopes and expectations on a timeline that is not of our own choosing. That is the spiritual discipline of waiting. It's an act of faith. And to hear God's voice today, we have to learn to wait. How many nights, I wonder, did Samuel sleep in the temple under that dim light of the lamp of God? Only to hear Eli's snoring, not the voice of God. Or the raucous noise of Eli's sons and their shenanigans outside the temple. That is the sound of Eli's or of Samuel's waiting there in the temple. How many times did Samuel assist in the slaughter of offerings and see nothing but blood and meat and fat? First, we wait. And second, we listen. This may be a side note, but our society has become exceptionally poor at listening. Our own consciences have become the infallible arbiters of what is good and right and true, and all other things that we might choose to argue about. Our consciences are the sole and prime authority on all of these things, so there's no need to listen carefully or thoughtfully or intently to anyone. So maybe this observation is relevant after all. Because if we can't listen to others around us, then we can't listen to God. If we are so certain of ourselves, then we can't hear the voice of God. If our ears, our minds, and our hearts are trained to be to only to resonate our own ideas, our own opinions, our own convictions, to serve as an amplifier to what we already think, then when God sends signals to us, we are not going to receive them. If we've forgotten how to listen to someone who is right in front of us, how much harder will it be to listen to God who speaks to us in ways that are so much more subtle, so much harder to detect. To hear God's voice, we have to listen. We have to listen like Samuel. Samuel heard something. He didn't know what it was. He heard it more than once. But when he opened himself to the possibility that he was being addressed by God, he listened. And he didn't take that voice for granted anymore. If we open ourselves to the possibility, just the possibility, that we are being addressed by God, that God is calling out to us, then and only then will we be able to hear what God is saying. So we wait and we listen and we practice. This is my favorite part of the story. I think this is what makes the story so memorable, and it is that repetition of the voice of God to Samuel and his continual mistaking the voice of God as Eli. God calls Samuel four times in this story, four times before Samuel understands. Four times before Samuel hears the message that God has for him. Four times before God's speaking begins to take root in Samuel. The first three times, the speech of God, the voice of God, it just gets mapped onto Samuel's prior assumptions. It must be Eli. Who else could it be? This is why we need practice. We need that same repetition that Samuel experienced. We need to put ourselves in a place where we are ready. We are waiting and listening. And we need to put ourselves in that place regularly so that we have that practice. Because we're going to hear God's voice and we're going to mistake it for something else. And we're going to hear God's voice again and we're going to mistake it for something else. Because that's just who we are. And that's how we work. Psalm 19 says this: "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. God's speech is out there. God is speaking. The lamp of God has not gone out. But when we hear God, when we hear those words that are going to the end of the world, when we hear the speech that is coming from the heavens, we might just be mapping all of that God's speaking to us, just mapping it onto what we already think we know about the world, about our lives, about how things work. It must be Eli. Who else could it be? It must be a mistake. Who else could it be? I must be confused. Who else could it be? But if we wait and listen and practice being attentive to the voice of God, we might hear God calling. We might hear the voice of God in the heavens, in the firmament, in the world, all around us. We might hear the word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ, calling us to follow him, to show his love, his hospitality, the mercy and grace and compassion of God's kingdom, to hear God's voice and the voices of the suffering and the oppressed. God still speaks to us. God still calls to us. Wait, listen, practice. The word of the Lord is rare in these days. But the lamp of God has not gone out. Let us pray. Make us attentive to your call, O God. Prepare us to hear your voice so that we might hear you and answer, "Here I am." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.